Remember that commercial in the 80s that said, "It's 10 o'clock, do you know where your children are?" I'm feeling that way about our real estate leads. In this episode of The Clean Close, we're going to cover Refkin taking the CRMLS to task, the Supreme Court saying, "Hell nah, Rex," Zillow dropping Matterport 3D tours, Zillow owning your CRM, the DOJ doing what Newsom couldn't, busting developers for homelessness fraud, and finally, how creepy do you want your web searching to be? All that and more on this episode of The Clean Close. Welcome back to The Clean Close. I'm Courtney Polis. Today we are talking about data, trust, and what happens when tech platforms push too far. First things first, let's talk about the Refkin CRMLS showdown. So this is all over the end user licensing agreement, which is called the EULA. Refkin posted that the CRMLS's end user license agreement forces agents to surrender ownership of their listing content, which set off a wave of industry reaction, most notably from CRMLS CEO Art Carter, who took time out of his very busy day to write a very long letter in response to Refkin's very short Instagram post. I think that Refkin just really loves poking and, like, you know, he reminds me of Trump. It's kind of like he just wants to see where there are holes in the bucket, see who he can get fired up, see which dogs are barking. Like, I think that he just throws things out there to see what the reaction is, and then it helps him, like, make his next move. So anyway, CEO Art Carter, who, by the way, I have talked to before. I respect this guy. I think CRMLS has done a lot where other MLSs have failed. He's been, like, a leader. He's very balanced. He's pro agent. Like, he's a good advocate. But MLSs, by their very nature and structure, can only innovate so much if the technological changes that we're going to be talking about a little bit later in this episode actually end up coming full force and kind of knocking out the usefulness of the MLS. But I digress. Okay, so basically he comes out and he says, "Our EULA doesn't endorse taking control of listings away from agents or brokers. Its goal is to provide benefits back to the brokerage community for the listing content provided." And then he schooled Refkin on the history of the MLS. He says, "The CRMLS, along with other MLSs, spent years trying to get MLS data recognized as creative work by the US Copyright Office. They were denied because the Copyright Office said it's just a directory." Okay, so they submitted operations committee meeting minutes showing agents and brokerages debated every single field in the MLS. They proved creative coordination, and that led to the Copyright Office recognizing MLS data as protected work. So Carter also explained that Redistribute, a joint venture between MLSs that packages data for informational use, pays brokers a share of that revenue. It doesn't pay me. I don't know what brokers is paying, but I'm not part of CRMLS, so maybe there are brokers out there. Are there brokers out there who are getting paid for their listings being aggregated? I don't know. He says, "Have we asked for elements of control? Yes. Have we done it to enrich ourselves? Absolutely not. These systems benefit users of all sizes." Okay, but is it possible that by having complete control of our listings and making profit off of the aggregation of our listings, that in fact there is a bit of a incentive for you guys to maintain control and to continue collecting licensing fees? I'll give you an example. I'm using ReChat. ReChat's a really cool platform for marketing, but I have to pay, even though I'm a member of the MLS, I still have to pay an IDX like subscriber fee just to be able to use a third party platform that accesses the MLS data for which I'm already a member, for which I already pay for access. So a lot of brokerages are being hit with these monthly subscription fees, adding to our overhead. That's just crushing. It honestly is. Like, they get you coming and going, and it's very frustrating. I do think that's something that MLSs need to recognize. So then he says, this is his mic drop moment. He says, "Robert, in 2023, you met with us and praised our model. You asked, how could we get the rest of the country to adopt the CRMLS way? Those same terms you're criticizing today are the ones that made that possible." I think that what this is, besides, you know, a couple of people trying to maybe get some news coverage, is the MLS is trying to defend their relevance in a moment where there's a very big player in the industry questioning, why do we need them? How do they serve us? And these are not new questions. These are not new questions, but they are questions that are becoming now more newsworthy. So I'll follow that, but the MLS's position is that collaboration is protection, and Refkin's really more about independence as empowerment, but it's independence with a star. So it looks kind of like a turf war, but I don't think it's actually a turf war. I think it is Refkin taking a Trumpian approach to poking at someone he's setting up as an adversary, well, a system he's setting up as an adversary, to justify threats of potentially leaving NIR and leaving MLSs. This is really what I think. And the MLS in this last round, lest we forget, based on the NIR settlements, has become the enforcer. MLSs previously were simply, it really was like a database, right? You put the listing in, it gets aggregated, it's a place you can search, it's a data point. But now, with a lot of off-market sales happening as a result of the clear cooperation policy allowing for it, I know that sounds counterintuitive, but that's the truth, the data is not right. The MLS entry data is not right. Agents enter their data all different types of ways. Days on market count is not right. And now, if people pull a lot of listings off of the MLS, you're gonna find that even the things we rely on the MLS for, such as market statistics and all that stuff, might be compromised as well. That is, if it's only using MLS data. So we'll continue to watch this, but it's just interesting to me that Zillow and Refkin are kind of like picking fights anywhere they can. I'm looking for the end game. I'm looking for the end game. All right, Follow Up Boss. Now this one is frustrating. Follow Up Boss is one of the best CRMs in our business. Most of the agents I know actually use it, love it. It also integrates with Fello. We love Fello. But Zillow acquired it a few years ago and said, nothing's gonna change, don't worry, nothing's gonna change. But very quietly, last week, they announced Zillow is in fact coming for your contacts, not just your contacts. They want your notes. They wanna know all of your personal details you put in there, the kids' birthdays, whatever you put in there, in your follow-up file on a particular contact, Zillow is gonna have access to it. They will be able to call your leads. Check out this Instagram video explaining how agents in the field are seeing this new change.
Follow Up Boss just updated its terms of service, and starting November 15th, the way your client data is handled by them officially changes. Because FUB is now officially part of Zillow, the new terms clarify what data Zillow can actually access. Things like contact information, emails, notes, and even pipeline stages of your contacts. There are now two distinct types of contacts in Follow Up Boss. What they're calling mutual customers who exist in your database and also have a Zillow account, and agent-only customers who exist only inside your Follow Up Boss. For mutual customers, Zillow can now use certain activity data for things like improving its product, training their AI models, and their broader overall marketing and outreach strategy. On the other hand, agent-only customers are still limited to Follow Up Boss itself, and their info won't be used across Zillow's marketing or ecosystem. See, this isn't a time to panic, in my opinion, but it is, however, a time to be aware of what's actually happening. If your team or brokerage uses Follow Up Boss, it's worth understanding how these updates could impact your overall database strategy and privacy disclosures. I put together a 5-page report that walks through the update in a clearly spelled out, easy to understand fashion. And if you comment report below, I'll send you a DM with the link. Bye.
So Christianos put together a 5-page primer on what it means. I'm going to give you the nuts and bolts. I read the primer. So Zillow now has full control over Follow Up Boss functions. When a contact in your Follow Up Boss account is also a Zillow account holder, which I think most buyers at this point all have a Zillow account. Every agent I know has a Zillow account. So the reality is the majority of your contacts in your Follow Up Boss probably have a Zillow account. So if there's one that has a Zillow account, now they will be able to access notes, pipeline stages, calls, emails, and text messages. They will use that data to enhance their own services, to customize user experiences, and to drive Zillow's marketing and advertising initiatives. Now, as we've already discussed, Zillow wants to create a one ecosystem platform so that a buyer never needs to talk to a realtor outside their platform, never needs to talk to a lender outside their platform, can even close the deal on their platform, has escrow and title through their platform. I mean, just one space. How this comes up for me is that I'm thinking we work for years for our clients, right? The people in my sphere of influence are people who maybe have sold 3 or 4 houses. But as the economy struggles and as the market struggles, everybody's counting their pennies, and Zillow knows that. So they've created these ancillary services, in my humble opinion, to try and offset the lack of maybe buyer lead generation that they used to have, agents paying them for lead gen, Zillow Flex programs and all that stuff. I heard that the cost per lead is like really, really expensive now and the leads are trash. So they wanna start being a better resource for your clients than you are. They say if the contact only exists in your follow-up boss but does not exist in their Zillow platform, then they aren't going to touch those. Yeah, right. Okay, what I feel is that tools that were kind of presented to agents as tools, which Zillow has been in the past. I know people who have built their entire businesses on Zillow. All their leads are Zillow. They have whole teams of cold calling, door knocking, key opening the door agents on Zillow. And you know, In fact, there's this one gal in Orlando and like her, she has like a, I don't know, 300 person team or something. And the majority of her leads are Zillow. I think that her agents make like 40% or something of the overall take because they have to pay Zillow for the lead. I don't know how it all works when you're just like a Zillow based brokerage, but these people are looking more and more like our competitors. So it might have been a tool at one time. A great search platform is a tool. Good promotion is a tool. Enhanced visibility is a tool. But when they became a brokerage, they became your competitor. And now they want to own our databases too. There are some gigantic brokerages that don't even own their agents' databases. I don't own my agents' databases, but yet we're going to hand over our stuff to Zillow. It's scary. It's scary. And they did it so quietly. They did it so quietly. If people didn't pay attention to the little writing in the small print and start making a fuss about it, you might not even know. Here's the good news. You have until November 15th to find a new CRM. So, FYI. These things are changing so fast, but they are coming for us. They're coming for us. Okay. Our next news headline is related to the Supreme Court of the United States and Rex, this Rex case that will not die, but maybe it just did. The U.S. Supreme Court officially declined to hear Rex Real Estate's appeal against Zillow and NAR, ending a 4-year legal saga. I don't know if you guys remember this one. I'm also super glad, side note, that these real estate lawsuits are finally coming to an end, but there are new ones being filed, so it's not like it's over, but... Rex argued that Zillow and NAR conspired to bury non-MLS listings, because remember, Rex had like its own search platform. At that time, years ago, you'd still be able to put listings into the MLS, even if you weren't a full service agency. I think you still can, but that would have been through the MLS, at least in LA. So I'm not exactly sure how they were putting non-MLS listings on there. There once was a time when you could individually upload a Zillow listing, like individually, like a FSBO kind of person could upload their listing to Zillow. But their accusation was that Zillow was separating non-MLS listings and MLS listings, and that was making it harder for people to see non-MLS listings. That was anti-competitive is what they accused, and they said it killed their traffic. But the courts repeatedly disagreed, and judges ruled Zillow was just following MLS policy, not breaking antitrust law, and the Supreme Court has declined to revisit it. So, again, not to sound like a broken record, but these monsters of our, titans of our industry, have been created by our industry, you know? So, Zillow's a private company. I mean, for the purposes of this, they don't have any obligation to Rex, I would imagine. You know, they're they're showcasing what's in the IDX feed. It's kind of like the Compass thing where, you know, they're following Clear Cooperation. So they're making new rules, of course, saying they don't want anything that was privately listed to appear on their site. And that's why there's a lawsuit against that. But it reminds me of that suit. And this policy, the policies of the MLS, these are the things that have created this giant that is Zillow, and it's difficult for small brokerages or any kind of competitors to get in at this point, is what I think. Okay, here's the takeaway. The disruptor didn't get the do-over, and I don't, you know, it's not that I love Rex or anything like that, but, you know, at a certain point, we have to deal with what is right now, and with the technology and things that are changing, the rules that are changing as fast as they are, these old lawsuits seem almost passe, like kind of like, who cares, worm fart. Okay, in other seemingly similar, not that relevant news, but news, if you're a Matterport lover, Zillow has removed Matterport 3D home tours from its listings platform after CoStar reportedly declined to renew Matterport's API agreement. So those tours now redirect to and are replaced by Zillow's own 3D home tour experience. You can take a peek here at what interim editorial director Jim Dalrymple from Inman News has to say on those changes.
If you're a real estate agent who uses 3D tours to market your listings, we have some big news today that may well impact you. The deal here, as the story here behind me indicates, is that Zillow has removed Matterport 3D tours from its website. So that includes Zillow.com and includes Street Easy, that kind of thing. And the reason is because Matterport updated its terms of service and it also failed to renew its API with Zillow. The backdrop to this news, though, is that Matterport is owned by a company called CoStar. They also own Homes.com, and they're really pushing hard to make Homes.com the biggest residential real estate portal in the US. And so along the way, they've developed quite the acrimonious relationship with Zillow. So this story here is about a different legal battle that the two companies are engaged in. And so Zillow removing Matterport 3D tours from its sites is sort of the latest chapter in what we sometimes refer to as the portal wars, as these different websites sort of vie for consumer attention. In any case, what this means, though, is that if you're an agent who has a listing with a Matterport 3D tour attached to it, that 3D tour is no longer going to show up on Zillow sites. Now, Zillow was quick to point out that there are other providers of 3D tours, but it is worth noting that Matterport was a pretty popular option for real estate agents. So we'll continue to follow this story as it unfolds. In the meantime, I'm Jim Dalrymple with Inman. Thanks.
In my opinion, it's just another step in Zillow's move towards a closed ecosystem, fewer third-party vendors. Matterport is not its product. They're going to replace it with their own product. You know, I hate Matterports. I don't like them at all. I think they totally distract from the experience of actually touring a home in person. But, you know, there are agents who like them, and I, you know, definitely people will be affected by this because now we have to use a different tool, a different product. So if you've been paying for Matterports, what are we going to have a different 3D tour for every site now? Is this another subscription I need to buy? It's just tedious. Tedious, I say. But if the platform owns the presentation layer, then it kind of owns everything. It owns the perception too. And the more we give over to these tech platforms, the less we have control of ourselves. And our MLSs still won't even let us brand our own photos inside the MLS. It won't let us put contact information in the public remarks. It won't let us advertise open houses in the public remarks. It won't let us drop links to virtual tours that have our logo on them in the MLS. And yet Zillow gets to run away with the bag and brand, sell us its tech, sell us its leads, you know, restrict the listing data, whatever it wants. NAR has nothing to say. I'm definitely distressed when I think about how all of these different lawsuits are going to shake out. I kind of imagine it like Pinky and the Brain, like, what are we going to do today? We're going to take over the world. You know, like they're sitting in their boardroom, just like, how can we turn this entire industry upside down? And I'm just wondering, while we still have any kind of power, when's NAR going to step in? When are they going to step in? So I have been mentioning in the past couple of episodes that LinkedIn is a hot spot for kind of fun commentary on what's going on. Sometimes it's hotter than others. I was going to spend some time on this particular agitator who is a lawyer masquerading as a consumer advocate, in my opinion. And he loves to put agents on the defensive, brokers on the defensive. He's always talking about conflicts of interest and how like he thinks that attorneys would do a better job at our job, accusing people of all kinds of things. But instead of that, I'm going to focus on a post that caused a little bit of a flutter last week. This was a post by James Dwiggins, CEO of Next Home, who shared a Realtor.com article stating that 82% of Americans now use AI for housing information. That number seems very high to me. I don't know where they got that data from. 82% of Americans? Are 82% of Americans actually using AI? Or are they accidentally using AI? I mean, I don't know. That number seems crazy high to me. So anyway, Eric Johnson, the CEO of Mission Realty Advisors at Compass, commented on this story saying we shouldn't be debating whether Zillow's new app is MLS compliant. So remember, Zillow has now OpenAI by the Bezels and people who are searching in ChatGPT can now easily access Zillow's platform, right? So he says, we shouldn't be debating whether Zillow's new app is MLS compliant. We should be asking why NAR and MLS rules are still built for an era that ended five tech cycles ago. If 82% of buyers are using AI and agents are only 1% ahead in consumer trust. Again, I don't know where that number comes from. It must come from the article. I'm not sure. That's not a technology gap. That's a leadership gap. And I don't know why that just like that hit home for me. I think 82% is crazy. I actually don't know anybody who's using AI for home search data on purpose. Like you can go in ChatGPT and be like, you know, what's the average price of something? But as many people have been revealing lately, ChatGPT makes up stuff. It makes up quotes, it makes up links, it makes up phone numbers. When it doesn't know the answer, it literally makes it up. So the idea that anything that's happening in there is reliable is crazy. And consumers probably, I hope, know that by now. There are definitely more trusted sites for home values, AVMs. You know, obviously Zillow, Redfin has an estimate, House Canary, and your agent, you know, the most important advocate for you of all. But even if 82% of buyers are using AI, which is ridiculous, I don't think that they can trust it yet. And I think we're foolish to assume that they do. And I think we need to make sure that they know they cannot. And when our clients send us emails written by ChatGPT, I think we need to call them out on that. Eric Johnson's comment was responded to by a gal named Laura Gabriel, president and founder at Whisper, which is a prop tech company. She says, I absolutely agree with you. Agents who truly learn to use technology and create a balance that improves the quality of the process for the consumer will win over ones who do not. The MLS, NAR, and Zillow do not care about innovation. They care about control because that control equals profits for them. Without it, they do not contribute anything of value. Again, this is coming from PropTech, so it's somebody who also has a vested interest in the disassembly of our established real estate institutions, right? The tech wants to replace certain institutions. There are gatekeepers here. They're trying to break that down. But for an ordinary agent, maybe even for the consumer, it can become very confusing. And I'll explain why it, even in a recent news article that, like very recent, like breaking news, I'll tell you where they got one word wrong. But this particular comment hit really hard for me because the Whisper is turning into a shout. NAR, MLS are definitely in defense mode, and they are not speaking loud enough. They are not taking loud enough stands. Where I see this, you know, if AI is used for home valuations, for example, do we need appraisers anymore? Are appraisers going to lose their jobs? For real estate agents, I think there's still a psychological component that ChatGPT can never replace. But there are people, one of which I'm going to have on a future episode, who are literally starting brokerages on the assumption that there is a big chunk of what it is that agents do that will be replaced by AI, and AI will even potentially do it better. I mean, certainly if we don't start setting some industry standards for performance for our agents, that could be easily true. You know, a lot of people don't even read the contract before they send it to their clients. That makes me very nervous, but I would not trust ChatGPT to read it. I'll tell you that right now. I ask you if in the future, if what is happening to NAR is that they're going to start looking like the Association of Crocheters of America or something. Is it going to feel so outdated, like an old timey association that's like a potluck club or like just doesn't even have any relevance to what's really happening? It seems that brokerages that are absorbing innovation are actually becoming the new normal, the new standard. There are new brokerages coming out all the time. Donnie Pingaro is launching Energy. That's like a virtual brokerage. We have other virtual brokerages like Real. There are things happening that are preventing the way things were being done before from being the way things are going to be done in the future. And NAR is silent. They've gone totally silent. I think if we don't have any definitive leadership at this point, you're letting Zillow take the narrative. Where I disagree with Laura Gabriel is that she's saying Zillow doesn't care about innovation. And I think Zillow is all the way in on innovation in a way. Not because I like to say that, but I'm surprised they jumped over Compass to be the OpenAI choice, you know, because they're a brokerage too, just like any brokerage could have had that relationship, but they didn't. You know, so I disagree with that part, but the main part of what she's saying has to hit. Whoever controls the access to the leads, whoever controls the listing data, they control the industry. If you like your real estate breakfast burrito with a little hint of special sauce, like, comment, subscribe, please. I'm growing this thing. I'm only on episode 4, but I know that you can help me get to 10,000 subscribers. I appreciate you guys joining and following along. Let's get back to it. But I gotta give it to some creative agents on different platforms. Peyton Piper, she's an agent. She is on Facebook saying, okay, Zillow, you're in ChatGPT now. I want to try and use this to my benefit. How can I do it? So she says she has like a little book she can email to people. Again, her name is Peyton Piper. She says, here's how to use ChatGPT to automate market updates. Okay. Find new listings for the last 24 hours. Find price reductions from the last 24 hours. Find homes or land that just went pending or under contract. And use a filter, put it in a zip, like single family or land on 1 to 10 acres, priced between XYZ in a particular zip code. And then you tell it to summarize the results. Count of new, reduced, and pending listings, top 5 notable addresses with acreage, price, and days on market, 2 to 3 sentences describing the market trend direction compared to the prior 7 days. This data gets pulled directly from Zillow's live data feed to show the new listings, price reductions, pendings under contracts. And then the ChatGPT summarizes the data with counts for each category, top 5 properties, and a short commentary comparing the trends. And there you have it. It's done your market update for you. I don't know. I wouldn't go through all of that because I personally, like, I don't know. Does anyone care? I don't know. Does anybody care about market updates in a particular zip code? But what I love what she's doing is she is trying to game the system. And we got to appreciate that because there's got to be a way for us to, turn this around in our favor as agents. There is continuing blowback from this story. However, in realestatenews.com, Victor Lund, who's a founding partner and co-CEO of the real estate consulting firm Wave Group, is it Wave? Is it WAV? Is it W-A-V? I don't know. He says, look, from the consumer's perspective, they're using ChatGPT and just invoking Zillow as a tool inside that environment. Okay. But Zillow says that the IDX data would not be used to train the AI models, so it's safe. It was a deep collaboration, they say. This is Josh Weisberg, SVP of AI at Zillow. He says it was a deep collaboration and they've been very respectful of the different industry rules and data privacy and federal laws and so on. NAR has not publicly made any statement on this. But what they did was they sent kind of a little advisory to MLSs on October 21st, and they said MLSs need to consider whether MLS data is being transmitted to an unauthorized party, if the displaying participant maintains control over their display, and if the display fulfills the disclosure and display requirements outlined in local IDX rules when determining compliance. So I don't know if you guys have seen any of the interviews with Sam Altman, the OpenAI chief, okay? But when he was asked whether or not he believes in God on a podcast, he had a very non-answer. And what the interviewer was trying to get at is, where is the ethical boundary when it comes to ChatGPT? At what point does ChatGPT draw certain lines? And I'm sure they're talking about like creating a new mom or, you know, creating something that could damage a lot of people or harm people or, you know, hurt people, could hurt themselves, et cetera, if there are no ethics, how far does this go? Who decides that? And he said, and I'm paraphrasing, that there's a committee that helps advise him on that, but at the end of the day, he gets to decide. And I know that's obviously a much larger conversation than whether or not ChatGPT actually uses whatever we put in there or a consumer use of Zillow to train the AI model, but I just think if the head of this company can't even commit to an ethical standard for the platform, then I don't trust anything that he says. It doesn't matter what he says. They could say anything to make the deal happen, and it just doesn't matter, which brings me to the next thing, which is that they just launched a web browser. They just launched a web browser called Atlas, which is an AI-powered web browser. However, it is even more... It surveils you more than even Google Chrome. It has something called agent mode, where it can actually act for you, open tabs, fill out forms, book appointments. But more than that, it remembers what you have read. It remembers what you have clicked and what tasks you've delegated. So it's actually watching you, literally, figuratively, and it's looking at everything you do online. Now, I'm sure you guys paid attention to the Diddy case. You saw how many text messages appeared in that. There were whole, you didn't even need witnesses for some of that because everything was in the text messages. So, you know, your web searches are easily subpoenaable. We're being watched. That's the point. And OpenAI's browser Atlas takes it to the next level. Everyone is saying proceed with major caution with this thing. But how many people read articles telling you to stay away from these types of things and actually take the guidance? I don't know. I'm dropping a link to the Washington Post article that was written a couple days ago so that you can read all of the things that it can do, but it's scary. It's scary, she-hot. This is scary. It logs the websites. It stores memories of what you look at and do, and it can even grab control of your mouse and browse for you, the article says. That is effing terrifying. And the owner of this company can't even tell you what sets the ethical standard, okay, for anything. Scary. Scary. So, real estate is now in bed with a very powerful tool, and I just don't trust that there's anything that they say when it comes to what is being accessed, how it's going to be used, or any of that. And again, this tool, as much as we love it to rewrite our emails for us, is so flawed. It's so false. It falsifies things. That's crazy in and of itself, right? We know AI videos can falsify things, but it falsifies quotes. It falsifies links. So you think you're reading something that has been vetted, and in fact, it has not. So just proceed with major caution. Okay, breaking news. So this one's a really big one. This is more of a California one, but the DOJ has a federal task force that is investigating how $24 billion in homelessness-related funds were used in California between fiscal years 2018 and 2023. And already, two LA real estate developers have been charged in connection with an alleged fraud involving $50 million of those funds. One developer, Cody Holmes, is accused of receiving $25.9 million in a grant meant for a homeless housing project that was never built. It was never built. So we keep voting for, first of all, the housing crisis in LA, in my opinion, has always been a bit of a scam, because we know if you live in LA, what you see is schizophrenia, drug use, open air drug use, fentanyl. It's always been a crisis of drug treatment and mental health treatment that they keep telling us is an actual housing crisis, which I just don't agree. Maybe it's easier to apply grants. Maybe that's why. Maybe there's more of a structure for awarding bids to contractors if they want to create some kind of fraud. Like, that mechanism is easier, and that's why the politicians keep telling us, even though we know, everyone I know knows, and they tried to gaslight us, like they tried to gaslight so many spending bills during the COVID era, but they gaslit us into thinking what we're voting for is to clean up the streets. That's what we think we're voting for. But in fact, what we're voting for is for LA to award gigantic contracts with no accountability, with our own tax dollars and our votes, because we want to live in a safe city that has people not pooping on the streets or doing open air drug use so I can walk my toddler down the street without thinking she's going to step accidentally on a needle, or ride the metro without feeling like you're going to get a chemical contaminant on your skin, okay? But so that's what we're voting for. They know it. $25.9 million in a grant meant for a homeless housing project that was never built. Never built. He submitted fake financial documents and used the money for luxury purchases. Another developer, Stephen Taylor, charged with bank fraud, identity theft, and money laundering. He allegedly misrepresented his intentions when purchasing a property with funds tied to homelessness programs, then resold quickly for a large profit. So the DOJ did a press conference, and they were like, if you've committed fraud, we're coming for you. Good. Come for them, please. Because obviously Newsom is incapable. When Newsom was asked on camera, where is all the money? He literally said, that's a good question. I think that might be a direct quote. I think he actually said, well, that's a great question. Something like that. Like, dude, you're running our state. Where did the money go? Because the problem is not getting better. It's not. In fact, if you follow the Instagram account Street People of Los Angeles, they frequently show homeless people in front of the housing developments that our tax money paid for, where they're spending almost double the cost of the retail value of a newly constructed condo on construction. Who is making all the money? Where is the accountability? Karen Bass did like a kind of cursory, like, we don't like corruption. Okay, well, what did you do about it, Karen? Nothing. We are in a very interesting moment where we have to keep our eyes and ears open, because as taxpayers, we're a little under attack, at least in Los Angeles. As real estate agents, our jobs are being negotiated right now between tech giants that have no desire to keep us employed. So if we are not very clear on creating new standards for performance for our industry and holding our associations to a higher standard themselves and forcing them to speak out and take leadership on these things, we're cooked. I think we're cooked. We should all go out and get a job at a Cracker Barrel or whatever. Anyway, okay, so I'm not going to be using that open AI ChatGPT Atlas browser. I'm still curious if anybody's used the Perplexity browser. I don't think it is very good, but you know, that was just me trying to noodle around on it. And I just want to add one thing as I close and wrap up this crazy episode of this week's news. So I talked to one of my agents this week about the follow-up boss thing, and her coach, she told me, said, don't worry about it. You know, like, we were all worried when Zillow became a brokerage, and I said to my agent, yeah, we should have been worried. We should have been worried, because they're out there using our listings to generate buyer leads for at least, like, I don't know, 10 years or something, building their brokerages off of our listings and advertising some other agent who has nothing to do with the listing, duping buyers into buyer agency, in my opinion, allegedly. Okay, that's what I think. But, you know, we should have been worried. And we should have been worried when their number one income source was agents paying them for visibility on their site. And we should be worried when there are whole brokerages that basically train agents to just be quick responders to Zillow leads, turning them into key turners. Like our entire profession boils down to licensees becoming worker bees to the queen bee of Zillow so that we can service their clients better. I'm sorry, but Houston, we have a problem. And I don't want to just pretend like this integration doesn't matter, the follow-up boss thing doesn't matter, these lawsuits don't matter. It matters. It really does matter. Finally, a new lawsuit dropped against Homes.com from Recore Solutions, okay, alleging breach of contract, claiming companies didn't deliver the promised lead distribution and marketing exposure they sold. So even the people inside the system are questioning whether the contracts match the control. This is about control. This is all about control. I think data is the product and trust is the collateral, and agents are the collateral damage. If you want more real estate news with a little hint of editorial, I hope that you hit subscribe and join me every Friday for a news wrap up and a little spin. All right, I'm Courtney Polis. Thank you for joining me on this edition of The Clean Close.